Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
Good morning. We lose half the congregation when the children leave. God is good at taking us out of our comfort zone, but regardless, I am very blessed and privileged to stand here today. And we were singing now about God's faithfulness. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I go through the motions of singing, especially if it was a busy week and a busy morning and my mind is still halfway at home, and you go through these songs, and I don't think we always really know what we sing. I don't. But when we were singing about God's faithfulness, I was just reminded, you know, do we really know His faithfulness? Not from what we read or what other people tell us. Do we know in my deepest, deepest heart His faithfulness? So, What I would like to share with you today is part of that knowing. It's about walking with God, and the other side of the coin is what keeps us from really walking with God. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know that He is gracious, that He is merciful, that He is full of loving kindness. He wants us to know those things in experience. But we get that from walking with Him. So what we would like to look at today is basically the two sides of the coin. Walking with Him and what keeps me from walking with Him. When we look at that picture, when we turn to Isaiah 64, verse 6, we read that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is a picture of us before we are born again. And you know what is amazing? In that state, God is looking at you and me, and He is loving us. He wants to walk with us. Why does He want to walk with us? He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He desires our worship and our fellowship. It's like us. When I want to go for a walk with Craig, you build relationship. You speak about things. He's your friend. He's the lover of your soul. He's faithful. You get to know one another when you spend time walking. In John 15, we read this beautiful parable where Jesus explains that He is the grapevine and we are the branches. He wants us to abide in Him. He actually tells us that if we do not abide in Him, then we cannot do anything. And it's only by abiding in Him that we can actually bear fruit to honor Father God. So that is part of our walk. It's not just a one-way thing. God loves us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to be in fellowship with us. But in return, when two hearts look at one another and you love one another, then we want to worship Him. We want to trust Him. And we want to be with Him. So the other part of it is that when we truly abide in him, then the world can see that he is alive. How else is the world going to see him? We have to really be heart to heart walking with him on this journey of life. And then the world will see Jesus is alive and there's only one living God. We are the epistle that the world reads. It's the only place they find truth by looking at the letter of our lives. So if you think about the time that we are not born again yet, and we looked like that first picture, it's amazing because it looks so hopeless, but there's hope. God is calling us in that state. You can go to the next one, thank you. God is calling us from being in that broken state. Even if we do, you know, we probably don't realize that we are broken. we are risen like, I'm so cool, and I'm clever, and I make it, and I've got money, and all that. So we think, no, I'm fine. But we don't realize from God's point of view that there's more. We don't know that. But when we, by the grace of God, start to realize that he is calling us from that position where there's no way that we can do enough charity, kindness, good deeds, whatever, to be in fellowship with God. We need him to take us from the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of light. So he is calling us to walk with him, to have fellowship with him, but there's a problem. He is righteous and he's holy, and we are not. So how are we going to actually be in his presence when he is so perfect and holy? But we are not. He cannot be in the presence of sin. But he loves us. So it's amazing. If we look at Job 7:17, we read, "What is man that you should magnify him and that you should set your heart upon him?" You know, he gives us a gift. Let us just bow our heads for a moment. Oh, Father God, you are gracious and merciful. There are so many hearts sitting in this room today. And some of us might not know, truly know you and know your faithfulness, Lord. Will you open up your truth to each one of us? And draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. What is God's will for this world? We read in 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth?" He wants all of us to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then we know this scripture in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So this is amazing. We are broken. God is holy. He gives us a gift, grace. He gives us, amazingly, Jesus Christ in John 1 is spoken of bringing grace and truth to this world. So Jesus comes, he gives us grace, he pays the price, his blood is the atonement for our sin. That is the gift we get. So we go and we say, "Lord, I believe it. I take it." When we do take it, as that spirit picture shows us, on the left, our spirit is cut off from fellowship with God because he is holy. We cannot be filled with him unless the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross with his own life and with his own blood is applicable and taken and believed through faith in us. But when we are born again and we receive it by faith, then in our spirit comes Holy Spirit. He comes and he fills us in our spirit. And at that moment, when you realize your days on this earth is done, you go to heaven. That is salvation. It does not matter what our soul look at that time. Our soul and our body still look the same a minute before salvation and a minute after salvation. Our spirit is born again. Our soul is not born again. Unfortunately not. It would be great if it was, but it's not. When we look at that happening in our lives, we read Philippians 3:9, and then this scripture comes to pass in our lives. And we are found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? The righteousness which is of God by faith. He gives us his righteousness, not by what we do, not because of our fancy works and how clever we are. He gives us his righteousness at that moment in our spirit so that we can start to walk this journey with him. You will realize that there is a crown there on my soul, because ever since I'm born from my mother's womb on this earth, my soul reigns, and I think I know what I do, and I make the rules, and I make the decisions. And after we have come to faith, our soul likes to keep that crown. He likes to keep the rulership of our lives and be in charge. Yeah, it's like my soul drives this car, but my soul shouldn't drive this car, but it does for a while. When we look at the next slide, I'm going to speak now about our soul, not about our spirit, okay? Our spirit, when we walk this journey, is born again now. Our spirit is righteous in God's view. So we're going to just switch to looking at the soul. When you look at those little pictures of the people, if I look at my soul the moment after I'm born again, then there are still things. If I had unforgiveness, it's probably still there. If I had bitterness, or whatever darkness, or things, thoughts that are not in line with the Word of God, it is still there. So Holy Spirit is given us. The Word says, I think in Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. So immediately what should happen by God's grace is that we put the throne and the rulership of our life in our spirit by grace, because our soul does not want to let go. But with time, I grow through this journey as I heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he changes my thoughts, and he changes my, suddenly I don't like watching that TV program anymore. Or suddenly I feel uncomfortable in a certain place going where I used to go. That is Holy Spirit within our spirit showing us, you know, there's a more excellent way. It's not about fear and rules and everything. It's about walking with God. In Romans 12:2, we read that, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. That is a lifelong process. We have to be renewed and washed by the Word and through the Holy Spirit all the time. Now, if we think about walking with God, you know, there was a time in my life where I had the knowledge of the cross in my head, but I did not deny myself any worldly pleasures. I also did not deny myself anything that my friends in the world wanted to do. So in effect, I did not really walk with God. I knew about him, but I did not walk with him. When we look at Amos 3, verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And if you look at that scripture and the whole context, it's all the time these things that the word gives to actually show us that we should be, when you want to walk with somebody, you need to be in agreement with that person. I certainly don't feel like walking on the beach with Craig if I'm mad at him. We have to have an agreement. We have to agree, or at least on this walk we start to agree. So when two walk together, we need to be in agreement. If we read Hebrews 13:8, we see Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Malachi 3:6, we read very clearly, God changes not. So if in our soul we want to walk with God, he is not the one that's going to have to change. We are going to be the one that has to change. So if we truly want to walk with him, we are going to have to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit that he has already put in us so that we can walk with him. You know, we walk with him to the degree that we surrender to that. He gives us a choice. And unfortunately, there are maybe some of us sitting here that does not have the desire to give up the rulership of my life to the Holy Spirit. The word says there is a narrow path and a wide one. The narrow one leads to life. It's a difficult one. The wide one leads to death and destruction. I would really encourage each one of you and me to search our hearts. You know, where I am and where is the rulership of my life? Then comes this feared word, repent. I'm sure we've all been exposed to this word and not enjoying it, perhaps. You know what? If you look at this picture and you think about how to walk with God, repent is just the word where he says, you know what? I am so in awe with you. I love you so much. Don't you want to give me the rulership of your life? Let me guide you. I know the truth. I see everything. I see your brokenness. I see your issues. I still love you. Please come and let your will surrender to me. Follow the Holy Spirit leading you and come to the knowledge of the truth on this journey. I want to put my arms around you and walk with you. But it costs you dearly, because then, if we look at Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7, we read, trust in the Lord. Think about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. If he says in his word he shall, then he shall. It's a promise. Okay, you can trust in that. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see the picture where he says, put the crown in your spirit. Holy Spirit will lead you through the truth in the word of God. But you're going to have to give up your own understanding. You're going to have to give up trusting in your own abilities. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in me. That's costing us. That is against everything that we read in books, see on TV, anything that our friends tell us. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, we see another part of this journey, and that is, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So, do I want to be wise in the world and a fool with God? You know, this, the wisdom of this world is something that we are trained in. We are streetwise in the wisdom of this world. Once again, he's got a more excellent way if we choose to trust him and follow his guidance. And then, of course, there will be a glorious day where the trumpet blows. And we are going to meet our Savior and see him as he is. We have to prepare. If we see that, if we look at that, if we have that in our heart's desire, you know, there was a time when Craig was working in Zambia while we were in South Africa, and I couldn't wait for my husband to come home. Do you think it was, okay, sometimes maybe, but at least we tried to be clean and the home to be tidy, perhaps a cooked meal. You prepare for the one that you love. Who do we prepare for? Where is our preparation? Where do we spend our time and our effort to prepare in this walking with him? Therefore, we should put the rulership of our lives in our spirit and heed the voice of the Holy Spirit in all we do. Remember, as we surrender to him, that is the degree in which we will walk with him. Our only communication with the spirit realm should be through Holy Spirit given by Jesus. That is God's way, and that is the safe way. We are going to watch a video now, just a short 3-4 minute video about the holiness of God, and then I will carry on.
Three are one, or Trinity, and a Trinity is exactly how God is portrayed in the Bible, as a compound unity, rather than just a singular one. Light reveals this fact: God is a compound unity of colors. He is not a singular being without divisions. The three primary colors portray a divine truth about light and God. Father, Word, and Holy Spirit express this truth about light, that three are one. And when united, these three express all seven colors. Only one book can show this link between light and God. The Bible expresses the three primary colors of God by saying, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." And Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The Bible also tells us that God has seven spirits. "Grace be unto you, and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God." And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, and thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire, burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, God reveals what his seven spirits are, which dwell in his Messiah. Isaiah 11:2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." There is no doubt that the God of the Bible is shown to be a compound unity in both Old and New Testament. When God said to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," the word for one he used was echad, which means a united one. Just like the three primary colors are unified to create white light, he could have used the word yachid, which would have meant a singular one, without divisions. But God used a word which would express how he is a unified God. Just like light itself is one, yet made up of divisions. God gave the menorah to Moses to portray this truth to the Jews, that God is our light. He is a compound unity, a God who exactly portrays the properties of light. God is one God. but he has three branches and seven spirits. This is a divine mystery hidden in the Jewish menorah. The truth about God and light. My friend, you can only find this astounding truth in the Bible, that three are one and express seven divine qualities or spirits. That is the nature of the God of the Bible. And that is also the nature of light itself. Who can deny such a powerful testimony, which light gives, of the true God?
Isn't God amazing? You know, when you look at these things and you see the mysteries in the Word of God and what He gives us through His Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of God, everything in the fullness of who He is and Him as the Most High God wants to have a walk with you and me. He's giving us the choice to surrender. But He will keep calling and He will keep knocking. Isn't He gracious? In 1 Thessalonians 5, we read, "Rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophecies. Prove or test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are spirit, soul, and body. He is holy. He's giving us everything through His Spirit. He's paid dearly for it. He's asking us to lay down our opinion 3 verse 5 and opinion 12 verse 16. He's asking us to lay it down and to come to a place of walking with Him truly in righteousness and in holiness. Because that is the ultimate way, according to the Word, to be prepared when we are going to hear the last trumpet and we will meet Him. In the same way, we look at Him in the middle there, in that white area where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes together. That is light. That is truth. That is abiding in Him, where He makes us complete. Unfortunately, on the other side of the coin, there are so many voices that want to keep us from that place. The whole world speaks another language. I am going to share with you, I would call myself a learner. You know, there's a journey when you start to really heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. And normally it starts out of a place of tribulation, when your plans and your ideas and your wisdom runs out. You start to realize, okay, Lord, I tried, I can't. Now I give it to you. And from when that started to happen to me, I've been on a journey where He has taught me a few things that I would like to share with you today. But before I do that, I want to first ask you to look at it from a heart of somebody that's been there, and not somebody that's pointing the finger and judging you. Okay. I'm going to share a few things about deception that takes place in the world today. When I speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ, they are just as exposed to it as the world is. And it keeps us from walking in unity with our loving Father. So we are going to speak a little bit about, you know, the word says in 2 Corinthians that even Satan will masquerade himself as an angel of light. If we think we walk into his light, we better be sure that it's his light. And there is a way to be sure. He's faithful. There is a way. But we need to be careful. So I want to bring a few warnings out today. I'm going to share with you a few things that might look like they are really not related to one another, but hopefully at the end we'll bring everything together. So bear with me if it doesn't make sense and it's weird. Okay. I'm going to share with you a few things about Eastern religions that has come into the West. And when I go through their beliefs, I would like you to take note of words like energy, the flow of energy, the life force, and how these things need to be balanced. That is very much the core of many of these beliefs about some kind of presence, and they call it different names. You know, in the book of Isaiah, we read that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So I would like to bring this knowledge to you today, what I've learned, and ask you to open your heart to what the Lord wants to show us. If it's not for you, maybe it's for somebody that you know or somebody that you will meet one day. The first one we're going to mention is Taoism. Tao can be defined as a path or a road. The way of Tao is the way of nature and ultimately reality. Tao is often described as a force that flows through all life. Here we get the flow. Okay. Taoism means the study of the way. The belief system reveres many deities and holds ancestors in particular respect. The human body is believed to find strength and well-being when it is correctly aligned with the universal cosmic life force, Qi. It's called Qi. It's called many different names in many different religions, but here it is called Qi. There are opposing spiritual forces called yin and yang. You might have heard about that. It's quite well known. Which need to be brought into balance to allow harmonious flow of energy through everything. You know, sometimes we hear about yin and yang and these things, and we don't really know where it comes from or what is the spirit behind it. Now, Taoism can be an influence in different healing methods and activities that takes place in the Western world today. Some of them are acupuncture, shiatsu, martial arts, homeopathy, reflexology, qigong, feng shui, and reiki. I'm going to show you two examples. The one, acupuncture, they believe, unblocks critical spiritual pathways to restore health. It is all about manipulating this life force, according to their belief, flowing through one's body. And then they use acupuncture to actually manipulate the flow so that the balance will properly take place in a body and healing will come through. The other one that I had personal experience with was homeopathy. I had a friend who actually went into a manufacturing plant where these medications are made. And it was very interesting because there is this extract from a plant or from something that is put into this big container. Let's call it the active ingredient. and it's mixed with an alcohol-based solution or water or whatever, but it's so little that you can barely pick it up. And then this whole container is put into a machine and it's being shaken. And it's, they call it succession or something. But the point is, then this mixture, the really, really important part is that it must not be shaken too much or too little. At the right time, they must stop it. Then they take some of this out, put it in another dilution, and it gets shaken again. So at the end of this process, after 5 or 6 or whatever how many times, you can imagine how much of that original active ingredient is actually left in this mixture. So the claim of the healing has got nothing to do with that little active ingredient. It's actually something else. So what is it? What is the spiritual belief behind it about this energy that's being transferred into this mixture? Okay. Then let's look at Hinduism. Based on the authority of sacred texts called the Vedas, that is what it's based on, and promotes the existence of an enduring soul that migrates from one body to another at death. Reincarnation, that is what it's called. And also the law of karma, which determines one's destiny both in this life and the next. You probably heard about that too. Although worship of particular gods is not essential, most Hindus are devoted followers of one of the principal gods, Shiva, Vishnu, or Shakti. The ultimate goal of all Hindus is the release from this cycle of rebirth in order to be united with the Supreme Being. Please forgive me for sharing these things from here, but like I say, you'll put the dots together in a while. Hinduism can be an influence in the following: yoga, Pilates, meditation techniques, or reincarnation, eventually achieving nirvana. That is when they escape this reincarnation, come back every time after you die, and you unite with whatever being you believe in. Once again, Buddhism can also be an influence in meditation, yoga, Pilates, and hypnosis. The second to last one is pantheism. They believe everything that exists is part of a universal God. It's almost having a relationship with one big giant microwave up there. Okay. All of nature is apparently a part of God, or at least a universal spiritual entity or intelligence. It is associated with a number of other religious beliefs, such as Hinduism and Taoism. Pantheism lies at the root of much New Age thinking, where the quest for this spiritual energy or life force, in order to find both enlightenment and well-being, is a common theme. The influences could be in naturopathy, crystal therapy, aromatherapy, some herbal remedies, and chiropractic. Let me give you an example. In chiropractic field, the founder, Daniel David Palmer, believed that the treatment removed interference to the flow of innate intelligence in the human body. Once again, this presence that has to flow in balance in your body. If something is wrong, they tweak a few bones and this balance is restored. As a practicing spiritualist, he considered the healing principles to have been given to him from another world, and he saw himself as the spiritual father of chiropractic treatment. Another area that this could be an influence in is aromatherapy. You know, God made everything and he made it beautiful. And if we look at the amazing chemicals that he put in food, in seeds, in nuts, in whatever we consume, those things are important to our body and we need that. But when we start to use these things, not based on the chemicals and the vitamins that they maintain and that they provide for us, but because of the energy flows and the vibrations that they have, then we must really be careful what is the spiritual roots behind this thing. And that's typical one area that aromatherapy practices could be in danger, because many of them believe that plants contain an unseen energy. It's transferred to the human body and will bring healing to our being, they say. The beliefs of many are every living thing has a life force, energy, or soul. And if you think about the beliefs of these Eastern religions, it's exactly what they believe. For example, this woman, an aromatherapist, said, "These oils have been around for centuries and are making a comeback into our modern day lives. Use these oils in addition to other tools like yoga to bring balance to your chakra system." I will speak about the chakra system. That is something that you will hear about quite often when you go into that field. The last one, New Age. Common New Age beliefs include pantheism, that all exists is God, reincarnation, karma, and auras, and personal transformation through mystical experience, ultimately with the hope of a new world order. A typical New Age practitioner might, for example, explore channeling. That is when they are acting as a medium to the spirit world, the healing energy of crystals, meditation, and music to attain, here we go again, new levels of consciousness, and divination using astrology, tarot cards, or a pendulum. In particular, a significant part of New Age understanding is that there is a need for holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to human health, both in diagnosis and treatment. In all of these, we see this continual repetition of this life force or energy and bring balance to this chakra system. Have you ever thought about why? Why are they so intrigued and so focused on this balance of this energy? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves hard questions, because it's easy to ignore it, and then we might be deceived in an area of our lives. Let us look at the chakras. That is a picture often you'll see in any of these fields that I was just explaining to you. But these chakras are called, it's actually the concept is found in the early traditions of Hinduism. Those seven discs that you see there are called energy centers. Energy, okay? The belief is that they should be unblocked, balanced, and healed for this energy flow to take place in your body and bring healing. Remember, this is from false religions. That is their belief to healing. We believe our healing is in Jesus Christ, and it was paid for at the cross. So forgive me for focusing on the dark side for a while, but it's really important that we start to learn what dangers there are that the world brings. The purpose of many of these healing methods that I shared with you are exactly that, between that and the meditation to change you from taking your thoughts captive, from meditating on the word of God, is to change you or to ask you to empty your mind, to focus on breathing, focus on repetitious words, whether it sounds good, doesn't matter. It's emptying your mind. Why is it so important for these people to have these energy flow unblocked? Or whole? Why is it so important to them? I'm going to show you a weird slide now. That is of a spine, a human spine in our body. That's another loose thread. You know, there is a higher order demonic spirit called the Kundalini. The beliefs through these false religions are that it is coiled up in the bottom of our spine. And this thing, the belief is once adequate preparation has been done through these chakras, then this Kundalini may be awakened or activated. Why would people want to do that? We will get there. But the interesting point is, when you connect a hose pipe to a, not a tap, what do they call it here? A faucet, sorry. When I connect a hose pipe and I open it, but there are knots in this hose pipe, then the water is not going to go through. So the whole preparation from all these Eastern religions are to get the knots out, to open these chakras, to have the balance, according to their beliefs, flown harmoniously or whatever we say, like in our body. What is the purpose for this Kundalini, and why do I speak about it today? I know it doesn't make sense for now, but you know what? When this thing is activated, it's not a coiled one anymore. The whole purpose of all these New Age and Eastern religions are this thing to wake up. And the result is that somebody experienced something called enlightenment, and they start to become aware of the spirit realm, whether it's angels or demons or whatever. And they have power, they have access to this big microwave up in the sky. And they have power, they can use it, they can manipulate it. And eventually, it awakens your higher self. It gives people the ultimate realization that you are God. You see, when you look at these so-called innocent medicine or activities that we do not realize that it's part of a big system of getting our body prepared for something that's not from God. He wants to walk with us. He's given us healing in Christ. But these things are a cause of deception. And unfortunately, I've been exposed to it and seen it, that this same Kundalini spirit is active in the church. When somebody's Kundalini is activated, and somebody else is prepared enough through meditation, through whatever activities, then it can be activated by touch or spontaneously. The sad thing is, when you look at videos and you read up about how this thing is activated in Hinduism or in Buddhism or in New Age facilities, when you see a picture of somebody being enlightened and you go into it's maybe a specific church and you see what happens there, there's no difference. The way people explain their experiences, there's no difference. People sometimes experience it as this big flow of explosion of electricity in their body. Sometimes it feels like an electric shock. It's unfortunately also known as the false Holy Spirit. And I'm not asking you to now go and be wary of everything you see. But there is an enemy out there, and he wants to take you away from the heart of the Father. He wants to deceive us. He's bringing all these alternative things in our lives. And socially, these things are acceptable. Nobody thinks twice about somebody sitting there doing meditation. Even in some churches, there are mindfulness rooms, healing rooms, where meditation takes place. These things have come into the body of Christ, and God is warning us today that we need to be aware. We mustn't be fearful. Him that is in us is bigger than him that is in the world. He is. He's faithful. But when we know the truth, we will discern the false. When we know the voice of our Father, we will discern the voice of the one that wants to come and steal my relationship from him. He wants to warn us to be awake. The word says, awake you who sleep and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Do not be fearful of the world, but know the heart of your Father. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we read, test all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, abstain from it, and the God of peace will sanctify you, so that we may appear when Christ comes in his glory, spirit, soul, and body. We don't want to be ashamed when the trumpet blows. We don't want to be ashamed. I've heard the last week so many people say, I can't stand church. I don't want to go. I've got nothing to do with Christians because I know them and I go to their home and I hear how they speak to one another and I see what they do. I see their lifestyle and I've got no interest to become like them. Do we walk like the Father? Do we walk with him truly? You know, when we look at ourselves, right at the start, before we are born again, our spirit looks like this. We are clothed in darkness, and we cut off from the fellowship, from walking with the one that created us, the one that gives us a birthright, the one that wants to give us abundant life. When we come to Christ in faith, he makes us new. He truly makes us new. He makes our spirit new. He makes us righteous right there so that we can walk with him. But that's only the start of the journey. Because if I put the rulership of my life on my soul, with all respect, this was the best way I could explain it. This is a talit. It's a prayer shawl that the rabbis use in Israel. But the letter kills. I can know the word of God by my heart, every verse. I can walk all holy. I can preach to people all day. Somebody told me the other day, her husband is so negative, he doesn't want to come to church at all. He was at work and somebody wanted to share the gospel with him and pray for him. But a few minutes later, he walked past his computer and there this guy sat and he watched pornography. What do we do with the light of Christ in us? I can know the word. I can appear all holy. The word says that we can do this. And deny the power of Christ, of his life in us, of the power in us. We can deny his power. We can appear all holy in front of one another. But what do we do when we are alone? And then, as we saw in the video, there's the sevenfold Holy Spirit. He gives us wisdom and understanding. He gives us counsel and might. He gives us knowledge and he helps us to walk in the fear of God. The fear of God keeps us in holiness. It stirs us. Because if I truly know God and I fear him, I don't want to touch a mouse and a computer and go to a website that I shouldn't go to. But I want to give you a warning. Everything spiritual is not from God. There are two spirit realms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And if we don't know the word of God, we are going to be deceived. We need to walk in his light as he is in the light. In the middle, we can't just have Holy Spirit. We can't just have the word. The law. We can't just do that. We need all of it. We need to stand on the Word of God with our whole being, in the power of the Holy Spirit that makes these words come to life. And we need to test all things. The enemy is out there to steal your destiny. He doesn't care about you. He wants to steal your destiny. And there's a safe place. God gives it to us. He gives us a safe place in the middle. Let us pray. If any of you sit here today and you have been involved in these things, please don't feel this is the end of my journey, I've messed up. Please don't go there. That is also not from the Lord. Let today be the day the Lord has made, and rejoice and be glad in it. He is the God of forgiveness. Lord, I come to you, Father. You alone, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no one like you. You are light, and there's no darkness in you, Lord. That is our heart's desires, and we come and we repent today, knowingly or unknowingly, be involved in things that were not spiritually clean. Holy Spirit, please come and reveal the Father heart to each one of us now. Help us to be careful. Help us to know your voice so that we can discern the truth from the false. Help us to not have opinion 3 verse 4 running our lives. Help us not to judge those that give warnings and that make mistakes, Lord. Help us to embrace one another, put our arms around each other, and bring your truth to a broken world so that the whole world will see that Jesus Christ is alive. And that you are the Most High God. I bless you today in the name of Jesus, with the love of Father, with the grace of Jesus Christ, and with the communion of the Holy Spirit. Walk with Him. Seek His face. Seek Him with everything in you. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in Him. Depart from evil. And He will guide you. He is faithful. He is righteous. He is holy. He has given you His all. He is asking you today to give you His everything. He loves you. He's calling you into His heart, into His presence to complete you and to lead you on His paths of righteousness, on His terms, because He knows what is safe, He knows what is good, and He's given His word that He wants to give you an abundant life. Surrender, surrender. Surrender in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if anybody would like to pray afterwards, I'll be here. I'm sure many other willing souls will be here. And I really want to encourage you to go. Seek His face and go love like He loves. Thank you.